So Ron's on,
I don't want to say vacation, but he's traveling with Trish for the next 2 weeks. And he asked me to fill in for him for the next 2 weeks. But those of you that were here last time, I got a chance to fill in for Ron. Anybody remember that? I remember that. I almost fell over. I was so sick. That was awful, but I did it. So I don't know how I made it through it. Sandy was ready to catch me, and that was pretty bad. So, you know, some of the fun of preaching is you get to come up with your own topic, and so that when the preacher can come back, he can keep doing whatever he's working on. But I was just thinking, I'm in the middle of selling three partners and I's business, and it just hasn't turned out how we thought it would. But man, life just sucks sometimes. It really does. It's hard. I mean, if you think about all the things that happen in your life and you go through, and especially as you start to get old like me, I mean, gosh, you just like, what, I got like 3 years left? I mean, just, but sometimes some really, really sucky stuff happens. You know, I was looking at just some of the things that's happened in the last, you know, year that's happened in and around the country. You know, last year back in August in El Paso, a gunman walked into Walmart, killed 22 people. Last year in Dayton, Ohio, a shooter went into downtown district at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, just started shooting people, 10 people. 3 weeks ago, I attended a funeral for a 16-year-old young man who took his own life, a special needs kid at a local high school here in San Antonio. And you just look at the despair on people's faces after what that young man went through and why he made the decision to do that. People are dying of diseases. Accidents happen every day. Hundreds of thousands of abortions happen within the U.S. yearly. Wars are being fought everywhere. You know, currently there are 750,000 homeless Americans in the U.S. 750,000. 140 million children worldwide are orphans. 800,000 people a year commit suicide. 18 million people in the U.S. are diagnosed with depression. Over 40 million people in the U.S. have anxiety. My dad recently got diagnosed with cancer. A week and a half ago, I rolled my truck. I'm still here. But. And political humor, last week, 25,000 people attended a Bernie Sanders rally. I guess I thought it was funnier than I thought it was. So, but just sometimes life can just suck. It just takes everything out of you. The question we have is, people just want to know, why does this stuff happen? Why did this happen to my friend? Why is it happening to me? Why did this happen to my dad? Why did I hit that curb? My wife knows that answer, but I won't tell you why. The kind of suffering I talk about is intense, and I know many of you have dealt with intense life-sucking moments, and I can tell you that some of you are going to have another life-sucking moment happen to you again. It may happen today, it may happen tomorrow. You might have family members that are dealing with illness. You might have another friend that most recently passed away. You might have a friend going to jail. You might get caught in a bad relationship. You might get caught in a bad business. You know, maybe you've faced some kind of abuse. Maybe you're dealing with abuse. Maybe you know a friend that's dealing with abuse. Maybe you know the pain of being stabbed in the back. Maybe you know the pain of being lied to, undercut you, or did something to screw you over. Maybe you have a broken relationship, or maybe you're in a broken family filled with fighting and anger and despair and need. Want. Maybe you've suffered some kind of emotional trauma. Whatever fits you, I know each one of you here in this audience at some point in their life and at some point in the future is going to enter into what we call, just for today, a life-sucking moment. And what do we all do? I think most do. We ask one question. Where is God, why did this happen to me? I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I pray on Wednesday. I pray at breakfast. I do a Bible study. Why did it happen to me? Why? Some whack stuff happens. It really does. But I think today we're going to spend some time in the scripture, and all of you are going to need your Bibles, and we're going to take a look at a man named Job. Some of you have read the story, and if you haven't take the time, it's 40 chapters, 39 chapters, but if you take the chance to read through it, it really is an amazing story. We're going to look at parts of it today. Let me tell you, let's look at a little bit about Job today. If you turn to your Bibles, we're going to look at chapter 1. And we're going to start out Job chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 to 3 here this morning. Job chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. So, now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to us, because I'm not a farmer, and, you know, I don't know anything about all that, but it sounds like 7,000 sheep and 300 camels and 500 team of oxen and 500 female donkeys. It sounded like the guy was pretty well off. In fact, in this time, he had everything you can possibly imagine back in this time. He was considered the richest man in the area. And he was blameless. He had impeccable integrity, and he believed in God. Now, we're going to move on a little bit. So here's this perfect man. He's got everything going for him. He's got everything he ever wants. And then something interesting happens. Let's flip forward a little bit. Let's go to chapter 1, Job chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 6 to 12 and look and see what happens. One day, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you. And then an important thing happens in verse 12. God says to Satan, "All right, you can test him." The Lord said to Satan. Basically, what happens here is that Satan doesn't believe in Job's faith is genuine. He tells God that if you allow for take everything away from him, suck the living life of everything he has around him out of him, and then we'll see if he's as blameless and has high of integrity as you think he does. So Satan goes to work. I mean, in the utmost, every possible life-sucking thing over the next few chapters that you can do to somebody, Satan goes after him. The first thing he does is Satan begins by attacking Job's riches. And this is a guy, just think, this guy has everything. Anything and everything you can think of in that time period, he has. He begins by, he kills all of his sheep. Now, that's going to smell. 7,000 sheep. And he begins, kills his oxen and his servants. And all of a sudden, all of Job's possessions are gone. And that was part one. Satan didn't stop there. He moves on and he starts to attack Job's family. While all of his children, Job's children, were having a party, Satan sent, I'm going to call it a tornado, they call it a whirlwind. He sent a tornado and knocked the house down on top of him and killed all of his family. Job has a response. And this is interesting when he initially goes after it. He says, I have lost everything. All he had left after Satan started was his wife and a few friends. His riches were gone. His livelihood was gone. All of his children were gone. Taken away. All in one fell quick swoop. You can expect that Job has got to be pretty upset at this point. You can think, God has built up a wall around him and made him succeed in everything. In a moment, it's all gone. It's all taken away. I can just imagine he would be like, what the heck happened? What did I do wrong? I'm blameless. I have impeccable integrity. I've done everything. I've treated everyone with respect. How did this happen? Does he ask the question that we sometimes always ask when our lives are miserable is, where is God? If we go into the Bible, we're going to read a verse here again in Job chapter 1. And his response is amazing. Job chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 21 here. He says, I came naked from my mother's womb and will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I have, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. What a response. Satan had no idea he was going to respond that way. He took everything from him. And I got to read this one more time. I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. Job didn't curse God. Instead, he saw God was the one who gave him all of the possessions and items and family that he had, and he recognized that God, above all, is the one who's in control. That the possessions didn't matter. Satan, as we know, is, you feel like you're at the lowest point in your life and if things can't get any worse, what happens? Do you get kicked again, or does life suddenly turn around? Typically, when you're at your lowest point, you get kicked again. And you know what Satan did? He kicked Job again. In fact, he just didn't kick him. He put him behind a horse and slapped the horse on the butt, and the horse just kicked him right in the face. And it got bad. Satan didn't think that Job had had enough by his response in verse 21. So Satan asked God to let him attack Job's body. God granted him the permission to do so. So Satan struck Job's body and covered him from head to toe with boils. Job had these nasty, infected, pussy, painful bumps all over his body. I know you've all seen pictures of people with immense versions of leprosy, so if that gives you a perception, he was covered in head to toe with that. So he's suffering physically now. He's just lost everything. He's just lost all his sons and daughters. Now he's physically in pain. He's physically hurting. And he responds. He responds in chapter 2 of start of Job. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never have anything bad? Man, just think of that response. So he just keeps getting kicked. And he responds with, should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? Even when things are at their worst, Job realized that God was the one in charge. He's been kicked once, twice, three times, and he's still going through this realizing that God was in charge. So, God decides to confront Job and talk about everything that's been going on and happening to him. So after many, many pages in the book of Job over dialogue between him and his friends, Job decides to make a large speech and talk about everything he's been going through. He talks about God. He talks about himself. He talks about that he's been innocent his whole life and that he doesn't deserve the punishment that he's going through right now. You say every man has a breaking point, or every woman has a breaking point. And at some point in the middle of this punishment that he's going through, he finally cracks. He said, I don't deserve this. He believes God has been cruel. And he believes God has forgotten Job. So after this, we move through the chapter, and let's turn to chapter 30 in the book of Job. And we're going to read part of the speech that Job is giving. Job chapter 30, and we're going to start in verse 20. Job chapter 30, we're going to start in verse 20. I cry to you, O God, but you don't answer. I stand before you, but you don't even look. You have become cruel toward me. You used your power to persecute me. You throw me into the whirlwind and destroy me in the storm. And now you're sending me to my death, the destination of all who live. You know, I think if you're reading that and you're reading the story and you're going through it, most of us would look at us like, you know, finally, this guy's human. He finally has a conscience. Because if you look at it, I think we can all say that we're all going to ask that question of why did this happen to me? Where is God that this would happen? And what's interesting is God answers Job. He's left him alone and allowed Satan to do all this to him, kill his flock, kill his servants, kill his family, cover him from head to toe with sores and hurt. And he gives this long speech, where is God? And finally, God answers. At the end of the day, God is God. And we are not. God tells him. At the end of the day, God is God, and you are not. We don't know what's best for us. His ways are so above us sometimes that we can't even comprehend. He does what he does. But in the end, we know that whatever happens is supposed to be God is good. Everything he does or everything he allows to happen has some sort of purpose. After Job hears this and everything from God, he makes a final statement. And this is interesting. If you turn to chapter 42, Job actually responds to God. He's in shock because he sit there and complained and he said, you took in everything from me. Where are you? Why won't you answer me? Why won't you talk to me? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you allowed all this to happen to me? I had everything. I had perfect integrity. I had. And now I have nothing. And God responds with, God, I am God, and you are not. So let's read verse 42, and we're going to start in verse 2. Job responds with, I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about the things I knew nothing about. Things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you will inform me. I love that sentence above all when I was reading this through this chapter again. He says, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you will inform me. I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. Lord, I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show you my repentance. Job acknowledges that God is above him. He knows that God is good, perfect, and holy. So then, why do bad things happen? I think that's a good question. After looking at these stories of him, why do bad things happen? I think bad things happen in our life to get our attention. I think bad things happens to tell us that we need God. I think bad things happens to show we aren't in control. I think bad things happens because it teaches us to rely on God. So I have a question for each and every one of you here today. It's important to figure this out, because either you are suffering right now, or you will in the future, or you know someone who is suffering. So the next time you're suffering hits you in the face, you have to decide how you're going to respond. You can either fight it off, cower, rely on yourself, run away from the issue, or you can trust God and face it head on. When you choose to trust God while you suffer, you don't have to be weighed down by a heavy load. Because as Job witnessed and showed for everybody, that here was a man that I think all of us know somebody that we have put on a pedestal at some point in our lives, that we think that guy is closer to God than I am. And it's, I think he's as close as you're going to get. And there's nothing that guy does that I can see is wrong. I think that guy is blameless. I think that guy is perfect, or that girl. And then at some point, that guy's going to get hit too. And at some point, you're going to have to look down and you're going to have to realize that God is in control and that he has a plan for this suffering that you're going through. He does. You hear this statement all the time, and I think it's not written anywhere, but it's a statement that I think we've all believe that is written. It says, God's never going to give you more than you can handle. Never going to give you more than you can handle. But he is going to give you, every once in a while, he's going to test your faith in him. He's going to take away the things for you to make you realize that he is God and you are not. He wants you to remember and realize that the time that you're spent here is such a short time. I'm 48 years old now. I know I'm older than everyone here. JD's not here, so that really would have been funny if JD was here. My uncle is 95. He might agree with you. But I'm 48 years old, and I have to ask myself, how much time do I have left? Well, what's really? You know, JD's 95. If my uncle, if I lived that long, that'd be phenomenal. But all his brothers and sisters didn't live that long. His mom did. But it's just a short, short time. And God's going to test you over this time and ask you, do you remember you're not in charge? Do you remember that I want you to rely on me? And I tend to think, every time something's gone wrong in my life, or just some of the bad issues I have, it's with those times when I am farther away from God than I've ever been before in my life. And you keep wondering yourself, what's missing? What's going to go wrong? What did I do? And then you remember, talk to God. And through, you talk to him all day long, and you talk to him every day, and suddenly you start to become closer, and then all those things that are going wrong, suddenly, they don't matter anymore. They really don't. As Job happened in this story, he had everything, and everything was perfect, and he took it all away. And then what had happened is he fell further and further and further and further away from God. And finally, he even asked God, where are you? What did I do wrong? Why did you do this to me? Why did you let this happen? And then God said, because I am God, and you are not. listen to me first. And I promise you everything's going to be okay. So life's going to suck sometime. It's going to suck everything out of you. It's going to take it, and then it's going to kick you again. But do yourself a favor. Remember this one thing. When you're at your lowest point, don't run away. Don't hide from it. Lock yourself in a room. Turn the light off. Pray. Talk to the one that is allowing this to happen to you in the first place to teach you a lesson that says, I am God and you are not. And eventually, I want you to come to me. And we're going to get through this together, and we're going to find our way through it, because each of our short time here on this life, we're going to get tested and tested and tested. And Christians, I think, get tested more than any other, because it just infuriates people that you're so nice and happy and friendly and what? And Republican. I'm just kidding. He's just, you're constantly being tested. But take the time to not quit talking to God. Not forgetting that He is in charge. Because when you don't think, when you've forgotten that He's in charge, that's when you're first going to get tested. And then you're going to get kicked again. But remember, as Job did through all this, he went and said, I'll listen. I'll listen. I'll listen. Each week we give everyone an opportunity to, if you haven't accepted Christ, to be baptized in the name of the Son, to rise anew with Him, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to stand up today. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Come if you will.